Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2089, with a release date of Friday, November 10th, 2017, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. The Baker Island De-Expedition gets a big boost. Morse code averts a boating tragedy. And Pope Francis makes a heavenly contact via satellite feed. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report 2089 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Charleston, West Virginia, here's Jim Dameron, NATMW.
If you like chasing DX, really challenging DX, our top story this week is for you, and it comes to us courtesy of the Ham Talk Live podcast. Here's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
A team heading to Baker Island for a de-expedition in June just received a major boost. The team of 11 people will be heading to the Pacific to the small island located between Hawaii and Australia for the first time since 2002.
Baker Island is currently number 4 on the wanted list, and it's going to be number 3 on the wanted list after the folks going to Bivay get done.
Like most de-expeditions, the expenses for the trip are extensive.
Any large, faraway place requires a lot of money because it's a long sail from anywhere. All your equipment has to be frozen, has to be purchased new. We are not taking any chances of bringing any invasive species or new bugs onto the refuge. We hope to make lots of queues, so when people work us and request a QSL card, they put in a little tip for our good efforts.
The cost of the trip is in excess of $430,000. Team members are paying for about half of the cost, while the other half must come from contributions from individuals and foundations. A major donation was just announced last week by team leader Don Greenbaum, N1DG, on Ham Talk Live.
We've applied to the Northern California DX Foundation for support, and they let us know this morning that we will be receiving a grant of $75,000. And to put that into perspective, it's the second largest grant ever given by NCDXF, the biggest one being $100,000 to the upcoming Bouvet. So we're honored. They had so much faith in this group that the wallets were opened in quite a substantial way.
For more information about the KH-1 Baker Island De-Expedition or to make a contribution, be sure to visit baker2018.net and their Facebook group. Your contributions are needed and appreciated. Reporting for Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, in Bloomington, Indiana.
Meanwhile, radio scouts are back on the air as results pour in from the recent worldwide jamboree on the air, as we hear from Bill Stearns, NE4RD.
This week in radio scouting, we have one activation from Scout Camps on the Air, and we check up on our jamboree on the air reports. BSA Troop 20 Amateur Radio Club WS5 BSA will be on the air from John Nichols Scout Ranch in Mustang, Oklahoma on Saturday, November 11th from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. They will operate single sideband on 40 meters through 10 meters and VHF UHF FM on the WX5 LAW and KB5 LLI linked repeater systems throughout the day. With over 12,000 locations registered for Jamboree on the Air and Jamboree on the Internet worldwide, including an astonishing 990 from the United States, we need reports from all of those locations to determine the number of scouts, amateur radio operators, and guests in attendance. Here's a couple of great reports we've received so far. William Mitchell, W0WMM, from their station from Woodsmoke in Gibson Island, Maryland, reports that the scouts enjoy DXing and making contacts with Spain, Argentina, Brazil, and the UK. The highlight of the event was when they talked to scouts on the nuclear submarine Savannah in the Baltimore Harbor. Jeremy Brown, KA7BIF, with the K7MVA activation from the Snake River Boy Scout Council in Twin Falls, Idaho, reported that this was their first time doing JODA and that they had a blast and can't wait till next year. With the local council's help, it was a success, and we helped 22 Boy Scouts earn their radio merit badge. For more information and to file your JOTA report, please visit www.k2bsa.net. For Amateur Radio Newsline and the K2BSA Amateur Radio Association, this is Bill Stearns, NE4RD.
Two special event stations have been marking a Great Lakes tragedy that happened 42 years ago. Kevin Trotman, N5PRE, has that story.
It's a tragedy that still captures the American imagination. The sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald 42 years ago in the storm-tossed waters of Lake Superior. The entire 29-person crew was lost on November 10, 1975, shortly after the Great Lakes freighter passed the Split Rock Lighthouse. Minnesota's Stillwater Amateur Radio Association kept the HF bands busy November 3rd, 4th, and 5th as operators made contacts from the Split Rock Lighthouse State Park during the special event station that it has organized for 13 years. Hams who missed making contact with W0JH get to try again, though. Special event station W8F is also commemorating the sinking. In Michigan, the Livonia Amateur Radio Club station goes on the air Sunday, November 12th, at the Dawson Great Lakes Museum on Belle Island in Detroit. Even if you're not able to work W8F on that Sunday, stay tuned to the HF bands anyway. Members of the club are operating from their own QTHs and keeping the special event station going right through the 20th of November. For Amateur Radio Newsline in Aiken, South Carolina, I'm Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
Another boating story, one that didn't end in tragedy, comes to us from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH. It happened in late October.
Now here's a twist on the saying, when all else fails, there's amateur radio. This version says when all else fails, there's Morse code. A yacht sailing off the coast of Cornwall recently was observed as being on a collision course with the Dales Rocks, which are submerged at high tide and therefore invisible and pose a definite risk of grounding. A watchkeeper at the National Coast Watch Institute at Bass Point, however, could not reach the crew. They didn't have an automatic identification system beacon and couldn't be reached by VHF radio to be warned of the dangers ahead. The watchkeeper therefore turned to an old relic, an Aldis lamp, which emits a pulsing light flashing the crew a Morse code message, the letter U, which warns of danger. The craft had come within 10 boat lengths of the rocks when it was seen to respond by changing course to head south, where it resumed its journey to Falmouth. Bass Point NCI station manager Peter Clements was quoted in news reports afterwards as saying that such flashing lamps are more commonly seen these days in vintage Second World War movies, but in this case an old wartime tool turned out to take on a hero's role in peacetime too. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
The president of the Italian Radio Association and a CQ Amateur Hall of Famer has become a silent key. We hear more from Ed Durant, DD5LP.
Hams are grieving the loss of a noted DXer, an active member of Italy's amateur radio community. Mario Ambrosi, I2MQP, has become a silent key. Mario, who was inducted into the CQ Amateur Radio Hall of Fame in 2005, was president of the ARI, the Italian Amateur Radio Association. He had a lifelong love of radio that began at age 14 when he heard the first Sputnik satellite broadcast using homemade equipment. On October the 25th, 1975, Mario made his first QSO. That was just the beginning. At the time of his death, he had logged more than 222,000 QSOs in 352 countries and collected numerous top awards, including those given for operation in CW and RITI. Mario had been president and secretary of the Italian Radio Amateur Association, a director of Radio Rivista, a writer for the DX News Bulletin and a QSL card checker for the DXCC and Worked All States programmes of the ARRL, as well as several programmes for CQ Amateur Radio. Mario Ambrosi died November the 6th. Vale Mario, I2MQP.
Thanks for that report, Ed Durant, DD5LP. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the Lookout Mountain Amateur Radio Club's W4EDP repeater, Chattanooga, Tennessee, Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. If you want to thank military veterans for their service to the U.S., be listening November 10th through the 12th for this special event station. Paul Brown, WD9GCO, tells us how.
Most of us enjoy a good special event station. And when it's tied into something remembering our veterans, it makes it even more special. This weekend, Wentzville, Missouri will be on the air celebrating a historic event, as organizer Larry Scantlin, KE0KZ, tells us.
I live in the city of Wentzville, Missouri, which is just west of St. Louis. And back in 1967, December, I want to say the 12th, I believe, they erected the very first Vietnam War Memorial.
Scantlin saw an opportunity to tie ham radio into this celebration.
The city of Wentzville is planning a commemorative celebration of that accomplishment, hosted by the VFW Post 5327. And so I saw that as a great opportunity to partner with them as ham radio operators, knowing how hams love special events. And since I am myself a Vietnam veteran, I thought it was a perfect marriage, if you will.
The station will be on the air as W0W, starting on Friday the 10th through Sunday the 12th, working as many of the HF bands as they can, primarily single sideband, but with other modes if they have enough operators. Scantlin sees this as not only fun for the hams, but also as a way to build public awareness of our hobby.
It is drawing a lot of public attention. We expect to have all three TV stations covering this. We're also opening this up to the public to let them come through and see ham radio in action. For me, that's the critical element because I think we need to do a lot more promoting of ham radio in the public sector.
You can find out more on the event's QRZ page. Here's a chance for a fun new contact and a way to help celebrate an important event remembering our veterans and their sacrifices for our country. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
One ham in South Africa has truly gone the distance, achieving a record contact on microwave. Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, has more.
South African amateur Alexati Ida, ZS6EME, feels like he's in the record books. And indeed he is, at least in the microwave record books. Alex logged the first microwave EME QSO from South Africa on 10 GHz in a contact with HB9Q in Switzerland on October 22nd. Alex was operating QRA64D, a new digital mode on 50 watts. That was only the beginning for him. The very next day, Alex was able to make 10 more EME QSOs on the same frequency. One day later, on the 24th of October, Alex was on the air again at 5.7 GHz and completed the first digital EME QSO with PA3DZL in the Netherlands. His good fortune continued, and he had seven more QSOs after that. Making note of his achievements, the South African Radio League proudly announced that Alex was, quote, putting South Africa back on the world microwave map, end quote. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
13-year-old Dhruv Reba, KC9ZJX, and his father, Hari, VU2SPZ, are hams who know that sometimes you have to try more than once to make a coveted contact. The eighth grader and his father were among those who worked for 2 years to help Chittick's Junior High School in Normal, Illinois, get selected for a QSO with the International Space Station. According to Dhruv's former science teacher, Danielle Hopper, the school applied to the ARIS program at the urging of father and son when Dhruv was in the sixth grade. It didn't happen. Undaunted and discouraged, the two reached out to the Central Illinois Radio Club W9AML, the Challenger Learning Center at Heartland Community College, and the Children's Discovery Museum. And this year, success! The contact with astronaut Joe Acaba, KE5DAR, happened on October 23rd. Hopper called it a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for the school and the district. She said Drew worked many hours with Grant Zier, AA9LC, of the Central Illinois Radio Club, and was on the planning committee for the big event for 2 years. As for Hopper, she ended up with a lesson from Drew in what ham radio is all about, and she hopes his classmates will be inspired to go for their licenses, too. In the world of DX, Nuri TA3X will be active as TC630 Mecca from Izmir, Turkey, from the 1st of November to the 14th of January 2018. He'll operate CW, SSB, and digital modes on 160 to 10 meters, QSL via TA3X, direct, or the Bureau. Rob, N7QT, is leading a team of 9 radio operators from Mellish Reef in Australia as VK9MA through the 16th of November. The team will be active from Harold's Beacon Islet, the only permanent land on the reef, on all HF bands using SSB, CW, and RTTY. The operators ask all amateurs to please note they are always going to be working split. Send QSLs to N7QT. Get ready. November the 18th sees the next annual Europe to North America SOTA Summit to Summit event, where SOTA activators will be out on both continents trying to make contacts. Look for stations to be spotted on the SOTA cluster at sotawatch.org between around 12 and 1500 UTC on the 18th. And give the activators a call. We're hoping for better propagation conditions for this weekend, where both SSB and CW stations will be heading up some hills and mountains for the event. Students aren't the only ones who get excited to talk to the space station. Mike Askins, KE5CXP, tells us about one recent contact that was blessed, truly blessed, by good fortune.
It's a given that when Pope Francis has some big questions to ask about life and the universe, he looks to the heavens. That's just what he did on October 26th, in fact. And he got some answers, only this heavenly exchange didn't come from the source you might imagine. The pontiff got a chance to chat via a satellite feed with the 6 astronauts on board the International Space Station, and his questions were understandably tough. Like the rest of us, he was seeking to understand humanity's place in the universe. But these were challenges that space travelers such as Paolo Nespoli, IZ0JPA, and Joseph Acaba, KE5DAR, could only take a stab at from a scientific point of view. NASA's Randy Bresnik, the Expedition 53 commander, told the Pope, however,
"People cannot come up here and see the indescribable beauty of our Earth and not be touched in their souls."
With this exchange, Pope Francis became the second pope to speak with the astronauts, following Pope Benedict in 2011. Paolo, of course, did take the opportunity to make a kind of confession. Humbled at not knowing all the answers to the pope's questions, he said, quote, "Our aim here is to spread knowledge, but the more we learn, the more we realize we do not know," end quote. So together, they will all continue to look to the heavens. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5-CXP.
With thanks to Allen Labs, the ARRL, Cornwall Live, CQ Magazine, Danielle Hopper, Filippo Risi, IK7-YCE, Ham Talk Live, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, Irish Radio Transmitters Society, K2-BSA, Livonia Amateur Radio Club, Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, South African Radio League, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Space.com, Stillwater Amateur Radio Association, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, WGLT Public Radio, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Jim Dameron, N8TMW in Charleston, West Virginia, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2017, all rights reserved.